Okay, Jesus, my food is not to eat something. My food is to do your will. When my food is to do the will of the Father, he says, do not say this. There's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, friends, he says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. For both he who sows and reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap where which you have not sown, where have not labored, it says. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. I've got amazing news for you this morning, friends. City on Hill Church, God promised us in the beginning of the year to harvest where we have not sown. To step into, can you say step? I'm going to step into what other people have done before us. I'm going to step into something of a harvest that I don't deserve. You know, for the person, the most amazing person that labored for us, his name is Jesus. We're stepping into everything that he bought for us on the cross. Isn't that awesome? But there's people in this area. I think of Kobus van Rensburg. I think of Tim Salmon and all these other guys, men of faith that walked in this, that labored in this area. I mean, Les and Tilly have been part of that whole generation. There's been people laboring in this area for many, many years. And we get to step in to their labors. I don't know what's happening to me right there at the back. So, friends, I mean, isn't this exciting? Yo. They're putting that thing, the poor mommies, moms and tots. Sorry, guys, you're getting me loud and clear. Come on, man. Let's just smile and wave a bit, man. Can we just be happy on Vision Sunday, man? Yeah. I want to say this, friends. This is our harvest season. City on Hill Church this year has seen more than 120 first-time commitments to Christ this year. Can you give God praise for that? We've seen more than 400 recommitments to Jesus. We've seen multiple healings and miracles, signs and wonders, literally just like Ethel. That is not the exception. That is the rule in our church. We've seen teams go out. We've seen people reach people in the hospitals. We've seen new life groups. We have 33 life groups in our church. Can we give God thanks for our life groups, man? And we're launching our Identity Theft series on the same day as Vision Sunday. And the reason why we're doing that is I believe that if you do not know who you are in God, you're not going to be able to take hold of what God has got for you. If you do not know who God has called you to be, you're not going to be able to express who God has made you to be. City on Hill Church, together, if we don't know as a church who God has called us to be, we're going to struggle to express that. We need to know who we are in God. We need to reestablish and strengthen our identity in Christ. Isaiah 54 verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. I'm going to ask the guys, just the elastics. Can we quickly hand the elastics out? Is that right? I've got a little gift for you. We're going to quickly hand out all the elastics. You're going to get an elastic today for free. Who have you went to on a super tube when you were a child? Do you remember what they did at those super tubes? They give you these elastics. Remember that? And what they do is they give an elastic, and then if you've got like 300 elastics, put on slide your 300 here. Remember that? Every single time, you just give them an elastic, then you slide, then you give them a... Remember that? I believe that this morning God wants to give us something of access, something of priority access. Are the elastics coming? Okay, they're coming. You're gonna get a gift, and this is gonna be an amazing, I believe, a celebration. Number one, when you get an elastic, it's access. I want to tell you, number one, because you're a child of God, because your identity is in Christ, because you and I are chosen by God, we have priority access to the throne of grace. We have access to the promises of God. We have access to the purposes of God. We have access even to a local church like this. We've got access to an inheritance that's eternal. I want to talk to us about, it says here, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Can you say stretch? Woo! No one wants to be stretched. Ask the pregnant ladies. No one wants to be stretched. But it's in that place of stretching that God enlarges us. It's in that place of stretching that God makes it and lifts our vision higher. It says, do not hold back. Can you say, do not hold back? Maybe we can have some more people handing out because it's coming a bit slowly. Is that right? Can we have some more people handing out? Thanks, guys. Thanks, David. Thanks, Rudolf. Let's have a lot of guys handing out because I'd like you to get the elastic to play with it so that you can be distracted while I'm preaching. Do not hold back. It says lengthen your cords. Can you say lengthen? You know what? God wants to lengthen our cords. God wants to lengthen, increase our reach. God wants to increase our reach. Amen? Strengthen your stakes. You know, strengthening your stakes. If you build a tent, those stakes hold the tent up. God, in this next season, I believe, with City on Hill Church, He wants to strengthen what we believe, strengthen our convictions in the Word of God. As He strengthens our stakes, listen to what will happen. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Isn't that awesome? You're going to get nations and you get cities. I've got amazing news for you. God has not just called you to have a house and a car. Can I get an amen? God has not just called you to have a house and a car. God has called you to have cities and nations. Can you almost honestly get this? You know what? It's amazing how we play around with the scraps of the table where God has called us to a feast at the table. I'm preaching better than you listening right now. Think about this. God doesn't want you to be happy with the scraps. It's a small thing for God to give us housing, and it's a small thing for God to give us cars and transportation. You know what God's called us for? He's called us to take hold of nations and cities. City on Hill Church, man, I'm telling you, friends, by being plugged into this church, God is giving you an opportunity to be part of something far bigger than you could ever imagine. I spoke to someone this morning and they said to me, no, we want to go to this small church because it's just smaller and we feel a little bit like it's smaller for us and we like that. I said, okay, no problem. But the truth be told is, friends, you don't choose a church based on comfort. You choose a church based on purpose. I'm serious. I mean, we need to get this. Get the anointing of God. You choose a church based on the presence of God. You choose a church based on what God has called you for. You choose a church based on where you planted, because where you planted is where you bear fruit. You don't go to a church because, oh man, the music's nice and soft on my ears. No, get earplugs if you don't like the loud new music. I'm serious. Choose a church based on God's call on your life. Who has God called you to be? The enemy is telling you lies and stealing from you, telling you that you are not good enough, telling you that all you need to do is survive, but God has not called us to survive. He's called us to thrive and to take hold of our eternal inheritance. Amen? I can see, friends, an army of believers rising up, being equipped, being empowered, overflowing with the anointing of God, shaking cities, being like the modern-day Charles Finneys and the modern-day John G. Lakes and the modern-day A.A. Allens, and saying, man, we are not going to stand for nonsense. We're going to take hold of what God has called us for. Just imagine, can you imagine hundreds of City on Hill people, loved by God, chosen from heaven, becoming what God's called them to become? Clarksville will never be the same again, and the nations of the world will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe we're going to plant multiple churches. I believe, friends, this is Vision Sunday. David, we're talking vision here. We're going to plant multiple churches. Friends, you know what's awesome? If you don't want to go, then you can be faithful here and send people. Pray. Spend your life, be faithful here, because if the base is strong, when the base is strong, we can send a lot of people. But when the base is weak, we can't send people. Tell the person next to you, I want this base to be strong. You know what I've got faith for? I've got faith that we're going to plant churches, but we're also going to plant communities in our community. I'm trusting God for 20 communities by 2020. Can you say 20 by 2020? Come on, man. I believe, you know what? We've been baptizing people all the time. I'm dreaming of the day where we baptize people almost every day. I'm dreaming of that day. Who's got faith for me with, not, hey, we're waiting for a baptism service. Oh, you just got saved. Oh, whoa, but you're a car god. Oh, can you come to my house? We've got a pool there. We've got a bath. What? Let's baptize you. I see the fivefold gifting released. I see literally the fivefold gifting released. People flowing in the prophetic. People flowing in their teaching gift. People flowing in evangelism. I see the fivefold gifting released in our communities and from our communities. Amen. It's Vision Sunday, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, before we get to Ephesians chapter 1, I need to just read Proverbs 29:18. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Can you say most blessed? Who wants to be most blessed? You know what I found? The way I believe about myself, Yaku, is the way that I view my future. The enemy knows the way he robs you of your future, Diebold, is he robs you from your self-understanding, your self-view. He robs you from your self-belief. When he takes away your confidence in yourself, and here's the thing, friends, it's not self-confidence, it's God-confidence. Because if I understand that in Christ, I'm a new creation, that whoever is in Christ is a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, and the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. If I understand who I am in Christ, whose I am, and what he's done for me, it changes the way I view my future, it changes the way I view my life, it changes the way I view my workplace, my family, everything in my life. And you know what, friends? Les spoke about it this week. The problem is you cannot know who you are if you do not know who he is. People try and find their identity. Oh, I just need to find myself. Have you ever had that girlfriend tell you at high school, hey, just give me some space. I need to find myself. Kennedy, you know what I'm talking about, my man. I want to tell you this, friends. You know what we need? We need to find our God. We need to get to know who he is. We need to be able to, because as he is, so are we in this world. When we find him, we find ourselves. When we see him, we see who we are. It's time to see who he is so we can become who he's called us to be. I love that old song. You're going to sing it with me because I sing false. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my life. Come on, let's give God praise for you. Let Jesus be our vision. Can Jesus be our vision? You know, when I see him, man, everything just changes, man. You know what? The enemy wants to distort your view of God. And that distorts your view of yourself. And that distorts your view of your future. That's why we have to reestablish and continually establish our identity in Christ. The first thing the enemy does with Jesus in the desert, if you are the Son of God. What did God say? What was the last words that he heard from the Father before he went into the desert? You are my beloved Son. God establishes identity over his Son, and he establishes that identity, and then Jesus leaves that place, and the enemy tests the very identity of Christ. You know why people drift away from God? They have a distorted image of who they are in him. I'm seeing how God is going to set us up. He's going to set us free from the lies of the enemy. He's going to set us up to run, to be rooted in him, to abide in Jesus, and his words abide in us so we can be more fruitful than ever before. Amen? I need to see what God is doing in my life. I need to see who God is in my life. In my church, I need to see, friends, I want to say that your destiny is linked to your local church. If you're not planted in a local church, and this is not your local church, find one where you can plant yourself, because your destiny is linked with the people that you're around. Show me your friends. I'll prophesy your future. Show me where you planted. I will not plant myself in a place where Christ is not central. If you want to know who the senior pastor of City on Hill is, thank you very much. I'm so glad someone knows. The senior pastor of City on Hill Church is Jesus. He is the chief shepherd. We get to partner with him. We get to slipstream with Jesus. If you're upset with the church, go to Jesus and work it out with these people. Is that okay? Forgiven, let's work it out. But let's get into Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be studying through the book of Ephesians right to the end of the year. So you don't want to miss it. Right to November, we're going to be doing the book of Ephesians. I'm super excited about what God's doing. But it says in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Wow, isn't that amazing? He's secure. He's not Apostle Paul. He's Paul, an apostle. He's secure in who he is in God, and it's by the will of God. Do you see that? He says to the saints, can you say saints? So please, friends, we need to change our language. He didn't write to the sinners. The poofy bad old sinners. Oh, but you're going to be saved by grace. Don't worry, man. You're a saint that makes mistakes. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You cannot be taken out of his hands. Nothing and no one can snatch you out of his hands. You are a saint. Wow, he says here, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He calls us faithful because when you're in Christ, you're faithful. Out of Christ, faithless. In Christ, faithful. He says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's difficult to be something that you don't believe that you are. It's difficult to be a saint if you don't believe you're a saint. It's difficult to be faithful if you don't believe that you're faithful. Hello? It's difficult to walk by grace if you don't believe that you've got access to his grace. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Can you say has blessed? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Woo! I'm amazed. I'm sorry, these camera guys. I see these people. This is most Christians. They're chasing blessings. Bless me, man. I want some more blessings. I've got good news for you. I mean, you're going to stand off your feet and you're going to give God praise for this one. Listen to this. This is so good. I want to say it nicely. You don't have to chase the blessings. You have the blessings. Come on, man. Let's give God praise. Yes. I'm serious. I know, man. Like, you know what happens? The enemy wants to tell you, you must still get blessed. Then what happens? Now you can't express what you've got. So now you're always in pursuit. You are already blessed. It's time to express and to access what you already have. It's like someone that has 3 billion rand in the bank. And all he goes every morning there to the four-way stop. Hello? You've got it. Just go access it. It's yours. Amen? Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can you say he chose me? You need to say it again. He chose me. Friends, that's why this morning is so important. If you're looking for the title of my message, it's I'm called and I'm chosen. I'm called and I'm chosen. That's the first part of understanding your identity. You're called and you're chosen. It's amazing. He says he chose us before the foundations of the earth. He chose us before we could do anything for him. He chose us before we could say yes to him. He already chose us. He already chose us before the foundations of the earth. He chose us. And listen to this. He, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Come on, man. God accepted us. God brought us into his family, not based on our good works, but based on his performance on the cross. You know, Jesus Christ was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. You know that. It manifested 2,000 years ago, but it's been a reality before time. Do you know that? We know that. We even, if you've seen Indescribable, that video by Louis Giglio, you'll see even in the Whirlpool Galaxy, right in the center of the Whirlpool Galaxy, you'll see a picture of the cross. You'll see a picture of the cross in your DNA. Laminin. In laminin, there's the cross. Why? Because Jesus paid for you before you could say yes to him. Because the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing. Settle this. If you're far from God here this morning, I've got amazing news for you. Whether you know Jesus or not, whether you said yes to him or not, his love for you has already been extended. And he's calling you in this morning, and he wants you to respond to his love and receive his free gift of salvation. I'm accepted. I'm chosen. Brother Andrew said this. He said, God does not choose people because of their ability, but because of their availability. So if I'm chosen, I need to avail myself to walk in what God has chosen me for. Do you see that? Make yourself available. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Whoa, I need to unpack this. Listen to this. You are a chosen people. Tell the person next to you, you are chosen. He says, listen, friends, we're not just a people. We're chosen. We're chosen by the grace and the glory of Christ. We are chosen by God. He says we're a royal priesthood. Let me just pause there. If I was a priesthood, that would already be amazing. You know what priests do? Priests have special access to the throne room of grace. Priests in the Old Testament would represent God before men and men before God. Priests would be the voice, would almost be the ambassadors of heaven. That's what priests are. Priests are these amazing people that have these amazing opportunities and privileges. That's who you are. Priests can minister. Priests can access the grace gifts of God. Priests are powerful. You know what the church history has done? Church history has separated saints from clergy. It's unbiblical. You cannot find it in the Bible. The Bible calls all of us priests. That's why we need Jesus to be the senior pastor, because no one can really ascend to that height. Jesus is the only one. The rest of us are all priests. Now, yes, we have those that walk in front. The church has got elders and deacons. We walk in front, but we don't walk in front to say, look to me. We walk in front to say, look to him. Does that make sense? Because we are also priests. I can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. The price Jesus paid for my life, listen to this, friends, is the price Jesus paid for your life. Not one person is more special or more valuable in this room than anyone else. And if there's ever a pastor's parking there and you find a car in that pastor's parking, you must tell them that they're parking on Jesus' place. Because no one gets special privileges here. Because Jesus is number one. Is that okay? Let's give him praise, man. Come on, isn't that exciting? Now listen to this. Listen to this. Maybe they can just put my voice up a bit, because then I'm not going to scream. Thanks, guys. Listen to this. He says we're a royal priesthood. Royalty means that you have royal blood. You've got royalty in you. There's some, man, you're royal. Do you see that? The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, made you one of His. You're from royal descent. Your DNA, that's why we're doing identity. It's your DNA is royalty. Wow. It says, a holy nation. Holy nation. Holy means to be set apart for a specific purpose. You are a holy nation. It says, a people, God's special possession. Imagine being walking around. If you woke up tomorrow morning and you're feeling a bit like, check yourself in the mirror and say, yes, you got special possession. You might look ugly for you, but for Him, you're beautiful. Hello? The ladies that have that extra centimeter, don't worry. You got special possession. There's more of you. Don't worry. He's hugging you, man. And some of the men that have that, like me, we don't have the... I'm His special possession. I don't have to be something or someone else. I can be myself in Him because I'm His special possession. Amen? Listen to this. Why are we these things? Why are we chosen? Why are we royal priests? And why are we special possessions? So that we can declare the praises of Him who called us. Friends, you're not just chosen to say, hey, I'm chosen. That's cool. But it's so that you can declare it. So you can share with your family, share with your friends, share with the city. So the City on Hill doesn't have to be an inward-focused church, but an outward blessing. Amen? He called us out of darkness and into His most wonderful light. You know, David was called. Even though others rejected him, and even though he was in the back of the line, David was called. David was chosen by God. Did David earn God's blessing? He received God's affection. He was a man after God's own heart. But it didn't make sense because when the prophet came to, you can go read it in 1 Samuel 16. We don't have time to read it today. But when the prophet came to the home with Jesse, and he said to Jesse, I want to see all your sons. David was not even invited to the party. I mean, they weren't expecting him to be anointed, but they didn't even invite him. They're like, ach nee, wat is up? I want to tell you this, friends. City on Hill Church was maybe in a small little dorp called Klagsdorp, a small little church. We in the back of the line, but God is not looking at the performance. And the prophet said this, God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but He looks at the heart. And this is amazing because God, you might be sitting here saying, but Mark, you don't understand. I've been rejected. You don't understand how many people have overlooked me at work, in school, in my whole life. My family's left me. My family's just neglected me. I want to tell you this. God does not reject you. God chooses you from the back and He brings you to the front. I mean, if I look at my own life, friends, you don't understand. I grew up, I finished school with the reading ability of a 9-year-old. They had to give me extra time. My nickname was Mark Vinniger. Now you're laughing at me now. But I'm talking and you're listening. I don't understand it. That God would use some not achter die ore lightie from Potchefstroom, Mark Vinniger. Man, my Mark, Mark nie saak nie. Because friends, it's not about where you come from. It's about who you are in Him and where He's calling you to be, man. Can you believe what God can do with you, with your life? If He can take a little lighty like me that deserves nothing, that comes from nowhere, can't even talk, man, I've got a spot here on my cheek that distracts people from my face. And Jesus can use me. How much more can He use you? That's a whip for you. Huh? God loves using the people that everyone else overlooks, and he likes choosing them to shine his glory through. People have asked, what good can come from Klerksdorp? City on a Hill Church can come from Klerksdorp. Come on, let's give God praise. City on a Hill Church can come from... This little church, friends, this little church, only a couple of hundred people, reaches people in the United States, people in Europe, people in Asia, people in Australia. Literally, people this morning, people in Australia is praying for our church this morning. Paul Collins and them and their church is praying for us right now. We're reaching people in Mozambique, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia. We're reaching a whole community in Potchefstroom. We're reaching other parts of our country. This small little church in Klerksdorp, reaching people all over the world. Amen. You might say, but Mark, what do I do in order to take hold of my calling? I want to show you, Samuel was also chosen, Itzen. Samuel was also called by God. But Samuel struggled to recognize the call of God. But you know why he heard the call of God? Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says that the boy Samuel went and he laid, literally, friends, at the ark of the presence of God. The ark of the presence of God. Samuel found himself aligned in the presence of Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning saying, but Mark, I am chosen, I'm called. If you want to experience that, you need to find yourself in the presence of Jesus. It's not a YouTube clip or a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram that's going to get you there. It's the presence of Jesus. Amen? Samuel finds himself in the presence of Jesus. God says, Samuel, Samuel. The first three times, he doesn't know that it's God. The fourth time, he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And through Samuel, this young man of obscurity, this young man that comes from a home where there was disappointment, this young man comes from a place of nothingness and moves into a place of greatness. And the Bible says not one of Samuel's words fell to the ground. Samuel was a powerful prophet of God. Why? Where did he hear the voice of God? In the presence of Jesus. If we're not going to be spending time with Jesus every day, Annie, like you do. If we're not going to be finding ourselves in celebrations like this. Friends, you know why this celebration is powerful? This morning is different because it's Vision Sunday. But you know what I love about these celebrations? God speaks in moments like these. There's a corporate anointing. You know what? Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says they were fasting and praying and worshiping, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas. Where did they hear the Holy Spirit? Just on their own? No. You can hear God's voice on your own in His presence. But friends, I want to say this, that these guys prioritize being corporately with other believers as well. If you're not in corporate meetings, that's why Equip was so powerful, because Equip was a moment of calling and commissioning and God speaking. And if you weren't in the room, you missed out on an opportunity to hear your name called. That's why Light Group is important. At Light Group, when we gather together, we're worshiping, we're praying, we're seeking God, we're connecting with Jesus, the Holy Spirit speaks. Amen? Position yourself in the presence of God. Moses was called and chosen. How many of you remember Moses? Oh, I love Moses. Moses. Moses, he gave up on himself. If you've never given up on yourself, you don't have a clue what Moses went through. But I have felt some days of like, listen, I can just give up on myself. I remember walking on the side thinking, I'm just give up on this thing. Hello? I've many times thought, hey, maybe, and then Jesus comes. But God appears to Moses in the burning bush. Moses finds himself faithful with a little, and God releases and reveals his glory and his calling. And God says to Moses, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm calling you to go. And Moses, first thing Moses says to God, he says, who am I, Lord? What is man that you are mindful of me, him, the psalmist writes. You've made him a little lower than Elohim. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Moses doesn't have an understanding of who he is in God. And so guess what happens? It takes away. He says, no, Lord, maybe not me because I'm not good enough. Who am I? Moses comes with excuses. God comes with solutions and promises. Amen? Who am I? You might have sat here and said, who am I that God could use me? Who am I that God could use me to bless my children? Who am I that God can use me to lead my wife? Who am I that God can use me at my workplace? Who am I? Who am I? I want to say to you this. You're a child of God. We're going to sing that song after this preach. I am who you say I am. Whom the Son says free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Wow. Second, it's amazing, man. You can check. I haven't preached for the last 5 weeks. I'm excited. Eh? I'm excited. Second thing, Moses complains. He says, what will I say? Have you ever thought, okay, Lord, I'm sure some of you sitting here, you thought this. Lord, what am I going to say when I go to these people? What am I going to say? There's an issue that we need to sort out. I need to love. What am I going to say? If you're a light group leader, sometimes you come to light group, you're like, what am I going to say? Hello? You go to work tomorrow morning and you're like, okay, we want to just gather. What am I going to say? Am I right? I don't want to be Bible bashing, but I also, you know, what am I going to say? The Lord says to Moses, I'll give you the words to say. Isn't that awesome? He promises that he'll be with us. Third excuse that Moses comes up with. He says, who shall I say sent me? Moses wants to know, what authority do I have? Who's backing me? See, if your identity is in Christ, and you're a child of God, and you're a royal, royal priesthood. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Jesus. Go and make disciples in this authority. Oh, so the person is sick. Oh, no. Oh, great. In Jesus' name, be healed. Wow, man, this is a financial problem. Lord, we speak life over the situation. I have a different authority. Oh, Lord, there's someone with a marriage issue. Well, I would like to represent God in His authority, with His love, with His grace, and with His compassion. Amen. Then Moses says to God, he says, what if they don't believe me? God says to him, I am sent you, so I'm with you. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? Have you ever thought like that? I want to say this to you today. Can I sit down when I say it? Listen to this. It's not up to you to make them believe. You don't have to convince them. We don't have to convince anyone. We could just share the gospel. You know what God does? He says, put your hand in, leprosy. The hand becomes clean. Leprosy is a picture of sin. God says, I'll cleanse your sins. Gospel. He says, what's in your hand? A rod. What is that rod? It's a picture of the cross. That cross becomes a snake. That snake ends up devouring the other snakes. All God says, he says, just you share the gospel. I will get them to believe. Just share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'll get them to believe. Isn't that powerful? But you know what happens, friends? We're going to have to die to ourselves in order for him to live and express his life through us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the following, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Isaiah responded, here I am, Lord, send me. I remember when we started City on Hill Church. I remember we were a team of people, and you know what I did? I rode on my 90cc scooter. It wasn't even mine. 90cc scooter to church. And I'll never forget the day when I drove home and I said, Jesus, thank you so much that people are actually joining your church. Thank you that you are using me. That was 9 years ago. Look at what God has done. You might be sitting here this morning saying, Mark, why am I here? Why am I in Clarkstorp? I've got amazing news for you. God has called you here. Acts chapter 17:26 says that God has predestined and predetermined the places where you should live so that men can call upon his name. God put you here. If you're in Clarkstorp for another 3 months, make it count. And join us in making it count. Now you might say, but Mark, does that mean we must have more services, more church? We don't believe in services. We believe in celebrations. Must we have more celebrations? No. City on Hill Church needs to be the church 7 days a week and celebrate as communities once a week. Be in community that celebrate on Sundays, but we are the church every day of the week. So if you ask me, where does City on Hill minister? Where does City on Hill minister? I'll tell you this. We are in education. We've got students and we've got teachers all across the city. We are in education. You said to me, but Mark, where else are we minister? I say, we are in the medical field. Thank you so much, David and the guys, Craig. We're in the medical field. You know that City on Hill Church, we're busy fighting AIDS. We've got people in our church doing research in order to help people to get healed from AIDS. City on Hill Church is fighting AIDS. What? You know, City on Hill Church, we're in mining. Gold mining, diamond mining, all sorts of mining. We're in mining, man. Because we've got people. Because, friends, you are the church. We don't come to church. We are the church. Tell the person next to you, you are the church. You know, friends, this church feeds poor people every week. Poor people get fed by this church every week. Do you know that? It's not what a church office can accomplish, friends. It's a people called by God. That's what we can accomplish. Amen? City on Hill Church is your opportunity. It's your opportunity to be plugged in. So what we do here is we find ourselves, we connect in light groups, we connect relationally, we get supported, we get discipled, we disciple others. Iron sharpens iron, we sharpen one another, we become more like Christ, we celebrate together on Sundays, we pray together, we go together, we give financially, we have a hub. This is like our, it's like our army base. And then you know what we do? We live, we get the church, we become the church on mission, the church scattered all through communities, impacting our city all the days of our lives. I want to ask 30 people to quickly come to the front. 30 people, just before I close. And then the band can come as well. 30 people. Oh, no, the first. 30 people to the front. You know, friends, this is amazing. I did a calculation. Can I? There we go, 30 people. Man, you're going to be blessed. I just wish I could pray for you this morning. It's like, awesome. Friends, I did a calculation. There's about 700 people that call City on Hill their home. If 700 people decided that they're going to share the love of Christ with one person every day, so that means if they go to the petrol station, the shops, to work, to school, wherever they go, they're just going to share the love of Christ with one person every day. Rain and I did this calculation. If 700 people do that, you know how many people we will reach this month? 210,000 people. Come on. It can take 1 minute of your day to go to someone and say, hey, man, I just want to tell you that God loves you, man. Or maybe trust God for a prophetic word, or maybe they're sick, you pray for them, they get healed. 1 minute of your day, we can change. You know, Clarksville, the suburbs, is less than 200,000 people in the suburbs. We can touch the whole city in 1 month. Join hands for me. Will you guys please touch the walls? You need to touch the wall. Touch the two walls on the sides. Touch the walls. Okay, listen to this, friends. I want to show you this. Friends, this is why God builds local churches. Can I show you why God builds local churches? And why you need to understand your identity in Christ. Can I show it to you? Okay. I'm quite aerobic. And, you know, I'm going to touch both walls now. Watch. Am I touching the walls? Oh, yes. Yes, you got faith, my man. Listen to this, friends. One will put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says. Two, 10,000. You know why the enemy wants you out of a local church? You know why he wants to rob you from a local church? You know why? He wants you to cut your reach short. Your impact, he wants to rob you from your impact. Andrew, yeah, is touching the walls. Rudolph is touching the walls. Coretta, she's touching the walls. You know how she's doing it? She's doing it in connection, in partnership with other people. Come on, let's give God praise. Do Do not underestimate the power of you being in this local church, planted in a local church. Do not underestimate the power of who you are in Christ. Now, let me do something. If I take Sergio out, just like this, just leave the gap. Leave the gap. Now, what? No. I just really want to know. Is Rudolph touching both walls? Hello? Hello? So you someone decide. Ach, you know what? Stuff these people, their hands sweat, man. Please go back in the line. Sorry, I'm making a bad, you're a bad, sorry, buddy. You decide. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to be connected in a light group. I'm not going to give financially. I'm going to do my own thing. TBN, me and TBN, ons is so. I'm saying it with a smile on my face. One link. And you know what happens, friends? We miss out. You miss out on your inheritance, and the body has to readjust. The body has to readjust when you get pulled out. The body can still carry on because God is faithful to his church, but you miss out on your inheritance. I want to ask you today, from the heart of God, if someone offends you in this church, or something offends you, I want to ask you, work it out quickly. I want to ask you to settle your identity in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in God, any little thing will just offend you. But the more you know who you are in Jesus, the more you can work through offenses. Amen? Let's give God praise. And I want to say this by the grace of God. I want to say this by the grace of God. You might never ever find yourself in the Philippine Islands. But we can touch the Philippine Islands. You might never find yourself feeding 200 young kids in the week, but we can feed kids. You might never find yourself ministering and writing songs that can touch other people in other cities, but we can touch people in other cities. You might never find yourself baptizing 100 people, but we, I think we've baptized already more than 50 people this year. Can you give God praise for that? That's amazing. We, friends, this whole church building is made up of more than 300,000 bricks linked together. If this brick decided, ach, nee, wat, I want to be there, and that brick decided there, we would not have a building. But God gets glorified when we link together. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the band to come to the front. One quote that I want to leave you with, and then I want to show you a picture of a lion. When I see the myself, this is what I came up with this week. When I see myself the way he sees me, I can start being who he calls me to be. Can I say that again? When I see myself the way he sees me, I can start being who he calls me to be. Derek Chester Brown at the Equip said this. He said, if you can understand that your God is a lion, that your Christ is a lion, and that God has called you to be like him, then you have his DNA. If you understand that he's a lion, and you understand that he's the lion from the tribe of Judah, he's the mighty warrior. If you understand that, look at what you can be. Let's look at the next slide. You can be like him. Watch that. Friends, you're not a poofy bad sinner. You have the DNA of the king. As we sing, I am who you say I am, I want to ask you, let the Holy Spirit cement your identity in Christ right now. Let's open our hands. Jesus, right now as we pray, God, supernaturally, come and have your way. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. God, I pray that afresh people will know that they're chosen by you. And together we are chosen for great things. In your mighty name, Jesus. Let's sing, let's pray.